Hi, I'm Dr. Felicia Mevin, and this is Health Services Unplugged. For this episode, I tried something new. Live webcasting from Academy Health's 2015 annual research meeting, otherwise known as the ARM. I sat at a table on the second floor of the convention center in Minneapolis and invited attendees to sit and chat about their training, research interests, career insights, and of course, their ARM experience. Listen to these clips from that webcast and meet some of our awesome colleagues and students who are passionate about health services and policy and public health and research and helping people.
So just as a quick introduction, this is Dr. Ernie Moy, who was the first innovator in residence at Academy Health, which is a new program they created to have folks who do different things to come in and share their talents and skills, enthusiasm around creative projects related to translation and dissemination. And so I'm the third innovator in residence, and the program was started last year in 2014. So if you're out there and you're interested in partnering with Academy Health and feel like you can carve out some time to do a creative translation and dissemination project, then you should go to academyhealth.org and look for their Translation and Dissemination Institute, and you'll see information about both of us and the program. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your where you work and your role, first of all,
okay,
to get started.
So I work in the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and I've been there for like ARC 15 years.
Right, AHRQ.
Strong ties with Academy Health, and so, Lisa used to be our deputy at ARC.
So Lisa Simpson, the president and CEO of Academy Health. Sorry, I have to sure people who aren't familiar with what we do.
We have the acronym for institution. Academy Health is a co-sponsor of the ARC annual meeting this coming October. Mm-hmm. So very, very close ties. And at ARC, I led the team that produces the annual National Healthcare Quality and Disparity Reports.
Okay.
These are annual reports to Congress about how the nation is doing from a quality and disparities perspective. And it's evolved tremendously over the years, gotten to a lot of the translation and dissemination stuff because we were asking people, do you know about a report? And it was no. And so this year, so we've evolved them over time. We use more and more electronic media. And this year, it's a total redesign. So we took, and you'll know why people have to use it. So it has grown because people always want us to add more stuff.
Right. That's what we researchers do, right?
And so it had become 200-300-page reports.
Oh, my goodness. That's a novel.
Good for building your muscles, good for popping the door open, and when they do use it in Congress, I'm told they use it to slam the tables. We need to do something that hard. We need to but not open them.
Okay.
So this year, the two mushed together into a 30-page document.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the rest of it is all electronic, coming out as chart books that we release twice per month. And that still has all the detailed information, but because we're doing this on this kind of ongoing basis, I think we're getting more attention, both to the shorter document as well as the every two weeks you get something new.
Right. I was at a speed mentoring session this morning, and one of the pieces of advice I gave to someone who's on the job market for academic jobs is to tell a really short story about what you're trying to do and what you bring to the table, then you can layer on all the details. And once you have their attention, once they are sort of with you with what you're trying to do, so it sort of sounds like that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And here in Academy Health, I think we often start with the really cool nuances of stuff, and people really want to know just the basic.
Right.
There's lots of disparities. Oh, they're all over the place.
Right. Oh, they affect me? Because I think sometimes people don't understand how it affects them.
Right.
Regardless of what category you're in. So, great. So tell us about your Innovators in Residence project.
So, my project was something that relates to my work. So, studying disparities over time, one of the things I was frustrated by was that we're always looking at little slices of it. So we know patient characteristics affect disparities. We know where access to healthcare and the types of providers and quality of care affects disparities. And we know that there are all these social and environmental factors that affect disparities. And it's just really hard to communicate with someone who's not a non-expert. Well, how does that all fit together? What does it look like? And so I got into the realm of agent-based modeling, because that allows you to create an environment on the computer create agents, you create providers if you want, and then the agents can interact with the environment, they interact with each other, they interact with
When you providers. Say agents, we're not talking talent agents in Hollywood, we're talking...
We're talking...
I asked you that question before.
Yes, we did. We're talking about a little tiny people that walk around on the screen and go into healthcare, and they can go and exercise and things like that. I guess artificial people, I don't know what the best term for it is.
I'll put something on the website. There will be a blog post about this on healthservicesunplugged.info, and I'll put a link to this about something that explains agents. How about that?
And if you want to, you can even put a link to my model.
There you go. That's what we'll do.
Academy Health has been pushing their electronic data forum, Cielo, repository of electronic tools. And this will go up. It's up there now. The whole thing was so that people could see how the disparities happen.
Right.
And when I came to Academy Health, I wanted to refine the model that I had created, the food model I created, which I was able to do, and to make the disparities in. So this is something for students that they could be assigned to play by their teachers and learn more about disparities and how all these different elements interact with the people. And the flip side of that is, I think we don't see in our current healthcare system, if you just address one problem, you don't fix the whole problem.
It's a triple out to something else. The unexpected consequences is what we like to talk about sometimes. Or even expected consequences, but shifting it to something else.
The non-linearities. And so, you think if you do this by 10%, it'll improve health by 10%.
Right,
because it's all these other things that only improves your pain.
Or not, or
gets worse.
Either way, exactly. So, tell us about one of the sessions you've been to here this round.
I have been at a bunch of totally wonderful sessions. And so, this is the anniversary of both Medicare and the Heckler Report.
Right.
And so, a lot of disparity stuff.
So it's 50 for Medicare and 30 for the
report? 1985.
Right, I think so.
I saw the sign. And so a lot of stuff here about disparities, about Medicare and about Medicaid, about Affordable Care Act, and just lots of great stuff. To hone in on something, I had to do some stuff that I usually don't do just because I'm one person from my center here, I had to cover all these different
things.
I haven't been to the gender sessions for a long time, and was really thrilled.
Okay.
Yeah, really thrilled.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah.
How much more stuff there is available now to look at gender disparities, disparities related to sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
Really, a lot more data available now. So.
But sometimes that's a really great strategy for a conference like this, is you want to go to the ones that are right in your field for networking, and then just pop into something that you hadn't thought about, and then all of a sudden things will start clicking sometimes.
Right. And that's the best part about this conference, because it's all different kinds of people that come together, and you get totally new perspectives on the work you're doing, and you get new ideas about how to integrate new stuff.
All right, so here's someone who deserves another award, because when I interviewed him a few minutes ago, I didn't have the sound on, so Eugene has graciously decided to come back, we recognize him, and with sound.
Wonderful.
So introduce yourself again to our fine followers out there.
I would be happy to. My name is Eugene Day. I'm a systems engineer and principal investigator with the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and I work in the Office of Safety and Medical Operations. And my role is to build computer simulations of clinical systems and use those simulations to identify promising candidates for quality, safety, and performance improvement interventions.
Awesome. And so you work in a public healthcare setting, but you don't really have a public health degree, is that right?
That's correct. I'm a systems engineer. But I like to, and in my previous role, prior to joining the Children's Hospital, I was with the Veterans Administration, where I was a health services research and development investigator.
Mm-hmm.
And so I use these models in addition to, in the clinical environment, I use them also in a larger context of population health to look at how clinical policy at this sort of microcosmic scale influences outcomes on a much larger scale and over time.
Okay.
So the big project that I worked on there was in diabetic retinopathy and using agent-based modeling to estimate as we change the screening interval for veterans with either no or very mild background diabetic retinopathy, mm-hmm. Can we extend that screening interval to preserve resources, but at the same time do so in a context which is safe and doesn't lead to vision loss in the veterans?
Mm-hmm.
And by deploying agent-based modeling and statistical methods, we can do that in a way, we can run prospective trials that don't put any actual patients at risk.
Okay, there you go. So there's the advantage of that type of an approach.
And it's much faster. I can run 10 years of a prospective trial overnight.
Right. And so does, at some point though, do people take what you've done and say, okay, this means that a different type of study is probably worthwhile because we see what the projections are saying or what the models are saying?
I think that that's actually an ideal use for it.
Okay.
In the case of that study for diabetic retinopathy, we were able to show in simulation that the sort of prevailing opinion amongst ophthalmologists, mm-hmm. that a two-year screening interval is safe, we were able to look at a 10-year time horizon and say, we agree. The statistical modeling and the agent-based modeling also agrees that over a longer time horizon that a two-year screening period would be safe. And then, you know, sort of bolstered by that evidence, hopefully someone will then take that and do an actual clinical trial before adopting a long-term national policy.
Right, so that's great. And so tell us about, this is the guy here, so tell us about the award that you won here.
Oh, thank you. I was very privileged to receive a Academy Health System Science Scholarship. There are five of us. I'm going to butcher some names. It's Jim Duggan, Kristen Lich, Nassim Sabanchi,
mm-hmm.
and Irene Vidyanti.
Good job.
And we're the inaugural class of the System Science Scholarship here at Academy Health, and it's a real privilege, and I think it shows a lot of forward thinking on the part of Academy Health. I believe that systems engineering methods have the ability to improve public health and mm-hmm. the ability to improve healthcare delivery,
mm-hmm.
lower costs, improve safety, and it can be challenging sometimes to convince physician and administrative partners that someone like me has the ability to come and help them.
Sure.
And it's very refreshing that the Academy of Health has taken a look at that and is willing to invest in that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, I think, one of the roles that Academy of Health has in supporting the field of health services and health policies.
Mm-hmm.
From their perspective, they can sort of help to introduce or help promote this idea.
Absolutely.
That'll make your job easier and, mm-hmm. Help make the partnerships in this way easier.
Yes.
So that's great.
And one of my goals here today at the conference, as well as in my career, is finding ways to disseminate systems mm-hmm. engineering practice in the medical literature so that physicians and administrators will have had experience with it.
Okay.
Cool. I had a very interesting conversation last night with a guy at the Leonard Davis Institute where we're talking about how academics can be so narrowly focused and how he was almost denied tenure because he published in the medical literature instead of in the economics literature. He was an economic professor.
Uh-huh.
And that goes to what we were discussing before, unfortunately with no sound,
we're smart people, we can recreate it.
Absolutely. how do we disseminate this research, and how do we make sure that the policymakers are paying attention when it's relevant? I was at the morning session where they were talking about Twitter, and who do congressional health staffers follow? And the answer is not us, not academics.
Yeah.
They follow news sources and they follow Stephen Colbert.
Right.
And
who doesn't?
Right. and I appreciate what comedians have to say and to bring to the conversation. They do a great job of pointing out absurdity, and it's very funny. But I don't want it to be cynical at the same time. And so
you know what? Every discussion or popular presentation of these topics to be cynical.
Absolutely.
It can be cynical, but we also need to leverage the attention that they get to these issues and send people to more information.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
But we're not. So this is part of why we're doing something like this podcast, to maybe get some traction around using tools that reach a broader audience. And again, not to be real technical with the topic in this setting, but hopefully we'll inspire some of you guys to go to our website, link to additional resources, I should link to, do you have something you have to tell us? Do you have a website? Or?
I do not yet. I'm in the process of negotiating that with my IT people at the Children's Hospital.
Okay.
But I do have a Twitter account. I'm at Eugene Day DSC. And I tweet about the research that we do at the Children's Hospital using systems methods,
okay.
And try to get some of the word out that way.
Nice. So we'll include that as a link on the blog post for the podcast as well, in case you and also you can let me know when you have your website. And
absolutely.
We'll refer to that too. Well, thank you so much for take almost three. I think we really appreciate you doing that.
It's a real privilege to be here, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity.
Thanks again to all the 2015 Academy Health Annual Research Meeting webcast guests, and thanks to you for listening in. You can join in with your comments and other feedback and find links to more about these guests at healthservicesunplugged.info. Health Services Unplugged is presented by Academy Health with support from Kaiser Permanente and produced by me, Dr. Felicia Mebbin, and executive producer, Dr. Imani Cheers, with music by Dr. Cheryl Mebbin. You can learn more about this project and the rest of Academy Health at academyhealth.org.